Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
You have eternity after this, right? So who are you going to spend eternity with? Your first husband or with your second husband?
I feel like you should answer that first.
No. I want to ask you the question. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Cousin.
Why are you in fast forward?
Because we got a fast episode today for y'all.
No, it's just a short one.
It's going to be a short one.
Okay. Not every week is 1+ hours. Okay, we're not always yappers.
Yeah. It's going to be... We got a busy life. We got actually a movie premiere that we got to go to after this. What?
I'm just dying because we have a busy life.
We got things to do, okay? And people one of them see. Is going to a movie premiere for a, well, technically a documentary premiere for a Hutter movie. Well, a movie made about Hutter that's coming out. And the premiere is like literally in an hour and a half. So we got to get down there. It's a little further out. But
it's East African timing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but I feel like at a theater, since they like actually have to book a theater, it's going to be a little different. But we'll see. We'll see.
Potentially.
Yeah. So next week we'll tell y'all like how it is, give you all the details and all that. But we'll get into the episode right now. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like we should probably address like.
Should we start with more like an upper or a downer?
Mm.
We'll start with the downer and we'll work on the uppers, okay? Yeah. Gotta get serious here for a second because this is actually something that we spoke about before in the past. Mm. We kind of gave like the details on what was going on, but now we're just giving you the updates on what's recently happened. And then we're talking about Sudan.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest topic recently. Like, of course, Palestine has been a huge topic in the past year or two, but Sudan has always... been there as well, and it's something that's been going on, but I feel like now there's more of a light on it, and people are being more educated on what's actually going on. And we spoke about in the past how this is a conflict or almost like a civil war between the RSF and the military of the country, when really it's more like a proxy war in that the RSF is actually being funded by the UAE.
Yeah.
Allegedly, can we? I don't know.
No okay, allegedly.
For that. No one's going to sue us for that, okay?
I mean. But,
yeah, so essentially, like, this is an outside force that's coming in that's using the RSF to be able to basically extract the country of their resources. At least that's what people believe is actually going on. They feel like this outside force is doing all this in order to destabilize the area so that they can extract it of its resources. That's essentially what I'm trying to get at. But recently... the biggest story that happened was a large city in Sudan called Al-Fashir. Hopefully I'm saying that right, Al-Fashir. They were taken over by the RSF. And how it was described, at least what I've seen from a couple TikToks and videos, is that essentially the military kind of just left that post. Like they had that area. They had control of it. They left for some sudden reason. And then the RSF just literally came in without any real... resistance and took it over, and their first thing on the docket was essentially to perform a genocide inside of that city. And I believe the count at this point, at least the official count, is 2,000 people have been unalived in the most like horrific ways, and they do other things of course to those people that you don't even want to speak about. But that number is definitely a lot higher than probably what is reported, but this is what we know. And that's the latest update on what's been going on in Sudan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you guys know that on the podcast, like, we don't shy away from essentially talking about some of these things that normally don't get coverage by regular media, social media, or on TV or in the news. So we thought it was important, especially to speak about Sudan. One, because while it's great that, you know... what's been going on in Gaza and all over Palestine has really just, I guess, people haven't shied away. And now, like, the truth is the truth. No one can really deny what's been happening there. We also don't want to silence the voices of Sudan and other Muslim countries that are suffering, essentially, through these types of like horrific acts that are going on. So we're going to do what we can to continue to bring awareness to it on the pod, whether that's through our social media or just talking about it here in the actual episode. So I know that there are links all over the internet on in terms of like where to donate, to provide support, whether through like food, because they're also, I believe, experiencing not a famine, right? Is it a famine? But there's like scarcity of food there.
And
for
also
sure.
Like 14 million plus people have been displaced.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's on a huge scale. Like so many people are being impacted. And so we want to do our best to try, of course, for first and foremost, is always make dua for those that are suffering. But then if you have the means to support financially, I'll see if I can find some reputable sources and put it in our description
for this episode. Honestly, like big picture wise, the saddest thing is that this is like a lot of times Muslims, well, people who say that they're Muslim who are committing these acts for the most part. Mm. And the people who are supporting it, as we mentioned, the UAE is supposed to be Muslim countries.
The thing is, like, let's be real. They're probably being like the puppets to the bigger puppet master, and like, you know, don't want to.
Yeah, but it doesn't take away from the fact that they're still Muslim and shouldn't be influenced by those bigger influencers, right?
Unfortunately, money can drive a lot of people to do things that, you know, aren't acceptable or not good things to do.
And the biggest thing recently that's been come out, or the biggest call to action that recently came out, was that people are now calling to boycott the UAE.
Yeah, like, I was gonna generally go there. I was gonna go there. I said never mind.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully this has some impact, as we've seen with when we talked about Palestine, like the boycotts that were going on there, those actually you could see had made real impact on those companies. And we hope that all that that momentum that was pushed towards boycotting the people who were supporting is not real, it can be used to now put pressure on the UAE. And hopefully, I know there's billions and maybe even trillions of dollars that are in play here. It can have at least some impact. And you kind of have to appeal to the things that can only make these people move, which is money.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if that's the best way to say that, but you know what I mean, right?
You know what? Speaking of boycott, I don't know if you saw this. It's like a kind of recent news. But did you know Kim Kardashian's brand Skims?
Yeah,
did
I
you
know
hear,
it.
Did you, you've heard of it?
Yeah.
Like shapewear and all that kind of stuff. So apparently she is opening like 10 plus stores in Israel.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Which is crazy to me because.
That is so tone deaf.
I don't know if you know, but Kim Kardashian, I'm sure a lot of people know, she's half Armenian. Yeah. Who Armenians have experienced.
They've gone through their own genocide.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she has kids who are half black, another marginalized group, unfortunately, in the United States. So it's kind of like, what are you doing, sis? So boycott Skims, just to let you know.
Boycott the Kardashians in general. I never liked them. Never
I used
will.
To be a fan. I don't know. I just thought they were like quirky.
Nah, there was one time where she almost won me, where she started learning law so that she could
she actually just posted on her story that she failed the bar for the sixth time, but she's not giving up.
Well, her motivations, at least in regards to that, were wholesome, and that she wanted to free people who are like unjustly arrested, convicted.
Yeah,
but with this coming out, like there's no hope for them.
I know.
And seeing what she's this is kind of controversial, but seeing what she's like doing and how she's influencing her daughter. Like, I was talking about this last night. Yeah, her North and like the things that she's been coming out with and how she's kind of like putting her own stamp on it as her mom. I know that's a whole conversation. Okay, maybe
we'll save that one for another day, because like I don't know how I feel about criticizing a child, but we'll talk about it.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Yeah.
Put a pin in it.
I'm more criticizing her mom, but okay, we'll talk about
it
later. Okay,
I hear you. I hear you, but we ain't opening that can of worms today.
Okay. So on, I guess the good news.
Yeah.
So the good news is that this Tuesday,
the fourth,
You know, our mayor Zohra Mamdani won for New York City's mayoral race. Yeah.
My dad calls him Mamadi.
There you go. Yeah, that was actually a funny thing is that I didn't know that. Mamdani was essentially like how we would say Mamadi.
No way. Is it actually?
Mamadi is also related to the name Muhammad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mamdani is like another variation of saying Muhammad.
In what language?
I don't know what language.
Oh, he's from Uganda, right?
Yeah. But I think that name is more from his like South Asian side. Or East,
oh,
yeah,
I didn't
East
know
South
that.
Side. Yeah.
Well, my dad was literally saying like, "Yay, Mamadi won."
See, exactly. So that's where you can kind of even hear it too when you say Mamadi, Mamdani. Mm. It kind of, you know, it kind of goes together. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he won. Like, this is guy, just to show you how crazy this is. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who was polling at 1% 1 year ago.
Crazy.
1%.
But you know what? He is a man of the people, and I think the reason why he won.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Best Seller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
One, first and foremost, is, of course, his policies, but you know how politicians are. A lot of them lie. And so I think the other part of it is the fact that he just looks like the average New Yorker.
Not only that, I feel like his social media campaign was A1.
Whoever his marketing director was, give him a raise or her a raise.
For real. Yeah. Like, and the thing is that he didn't, he didn't try to divide people.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is essentially what his opponent, well, his main opponent, which was Andrew Cuomo, was trying to do. He was basically pulling out all the stops, trying to be racist. He's trying to be Islamophobic. He was trying to be he was trying to appeal to the conservatives. Like, he was doing so many things to try and make sure this guy doesn't win. And he beat him twice. Now he beat him twice. Zoran beat him twice. Where essentially, because he ran for the Democratic seat, their pick for the mayoral race, and he beat Andrew Cuomo that time. And Andrew Cuomo was like, you thought, and then actually came back as an independent, no longer working with the Democratic Party, and still lost to him. Even though Andrew Cuomo has like a, he's very popular with like elderly or older people, but still, you know, the young people out here, like New York is a young, I feel like because of a lot of the older people, you just tend to move out, go into like New Jersey or those places.
Yeah.
And New York has kept like its vibrant spirit because I feel like the youth stick around and they like invest in
the younger
population, millennials. So, and he really appealed to them. So
he did.
Yeah, it was almost like you could see just from the momentum that he was building up that this guy was, people were still scared up until election day.
Did you guys not see like there's so many jokes about New York like implementing Sharia law now that there's a Muslim mayor and
people, I don't know, man. They it's that was all because of mainly because of like Andrew Cuomo, also because of like
all the other.
He started that too. Yeah, and like, well, it's not that he started it. He was amplifying it.
Yeah.
Right, and in adding to it himself. By just calling out Muslims, saying, and I think he was on a radio show, and the dude's like, yeah, you know, on 9/11, Zoran was probably cheering. And Cuomo didn't even like fight it. He kind of like laughed with it, right? To show you, they expose themselves, right? This guy's supposed to be a Democrat. Mm. Democrats are supposed to be the more inclusive party. But you can see that when it comes down to, going against like someone who's going against the system versus someone who's like, still feeding into the machine, they'll do whatever they can, and they'll appeal to anyone who they can to stop that from happening.
Yeah.
Right. So it was definitely surprising. Like, everybody's like, even as someone, even for you probably, like as someone who's not from there, like, you couldn't help but feel like, oh, our mayor won, right? Like,
yeah, he's Toronto's mayor too.
Yeah. And you know, funny thing about that is that I think it was in like Kentucky, there are people like pulling up to places that they normally go and vote and being like, where can we vote? Where can we vote to make sure this guy doesn't win, right?
Who's Zoran?
You can't get him implementing Sharia law. Yeah.
No way.
People thought that they could vote know how for the New York City mayor.
Don't they know how that works?
Their typical education, Americans. They are like maybe kidding. Last in education in the country. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they're in like at least like bottom 10.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was definitely a thing.
I saw this thing online too, saying that there were, I think, I can't remember how many of them, but like a group of billionaires and and just wealthy heirs that donated money to try and stop him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are people spending, funny enough,
millions of dollars.
There's actually a podcast that he was on. It was one of those like
Andrew.
Yeah, no, not Andrew.
Zoran.
He went on Flagrant podcast, the one with Andrew Schultz, who was actually someone who was pro Trump initially.
Hmm.
Like he got bamboozled big time. He's anti Trump now, but he definitely got bamboozled by him initially, and actually had him on the podcast too. He had Trump on the podcast at one point.
How did he pull that off?
Because he was going around to all these different podcasts. Because funny enough, like the one thing you can say that Trump knew is how to play the game. He knew how to play the social media game.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like people are saying that Zoran kind of like pulled the same playbook. Like, he appealed to people. First off, the things that people actually care about, which in his case was affordability.
Yeah.
And then also he knew how to play the social media game. He went to the podcast. He went to the places where people would normally disagree with them, and then explained his points and actually got a lot of them to be on his side. Like in this case, Andrew Schultz podcast. And one thing that he said is that the funny thing here is that these millionaires and billionaires are spending more money to make sure that I lose than what I would even tax them.
Mm.
Right? Like, these guys are spending millions of dollars instead of just accepting him as the new mayor-elect and maybe taking like a 20K, 50K, even a for them, million, like 100K is like nothing, right?
Yeah.
Even if they took that hit, it would be nothing compared to the amount of money that they spent trying to make sure that he loses. It makes no sense. The math ain't mathin'.
I feel like a lot of their disagreement comes from lack of understanding of his policies or what he at least wants to like.
Oh, no. A lot of them understand, at least the millionaires, they understand what the policies are. They just don't want
their obviously, okay. How do you think the rich stay rich? Mm-hmm. There's a method to the madness there. So I can understand that too. But you can't be so selfish where you're just appeasing to a group that, how do I word this? Because honestly, it can be seen this way.
Are you talking about like the people who have tried to appease the millionaires?
Yeah, like on one hand, it's like, okay, you make a lot of money, and you know, paying taxes suck, but like, how are you gonna tax someone who makes maybe 1/8 of what you make?
Yeah,
like obviously tax everyone, but like the rates should be different. I don't know. I'm not super into politics like that, but I'm just saying, it seems really selfish to be one way versus the other.
Yeah, he's basically just trying to at least close that gap. Just a tiny bit in the wealth disparity in the city, in it just his city specifically.
But I think for the wealthy, having that large gap really allows them to, it's like the us versus them, right? Like if you close the gap and people are starting to make more money and then the wealth gap closes, they feel threatened because the things that were once exclusive are no longer exclusive to them. It's like kind of opening up the doors to other people.
Yeah, and that's a big fear about a lot of people, especially when it comes to democratic socialism, is that they feel like they're going to have to you know, be with the common folk and interact with the common folk. They're happy, like, living in their, like, golden palaces.
Crazy.
You know, in their three-story lofts at the 100th floor next to the Empire State Building, right? Mm. They don't want to lose those type of exclusivities.
Yeah.
So they'll do anything to stop it. And a lot of times, like, I don't know, they say that, like, you can only make, when you make a certain amount of money, it's almost like anything above that is really, you don't even feel it. Yet these people are still fighting for that. They literally will not feel, even if he taxed them 10% more, they would still not feel it. But just them knowing that they're going to be making less than they did the year before will make them do whatever they can to stop it.
I feel like that's part of human nature, greed, you know, mm-hmm. always wanting more, no matter how much you have.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but it's the unfortunate reality. So, mm-hmm.
yeah, at the end of the day, tax the rich, spread it to the common folk, okay? but yeah, so that was definitely a big highlight of the week, you know, unfortunately with the other things that are going on. This mm-hmm. is something that at least raised a lot of people's spirits, at least in our house, and I guess in your house too, for sure.
Yeah, we were definitely celebrating his wedding, but... Mm-hmm.
And also the fact that he's Muslim.
Yeah,
right? That's was like, biggest part. Yeah, to think like 24 years later after what happened in 2001... with the towers. But now you have a Muslim. It shows you that, like, even with everything going on around that country specifically, like, there's still hope for a better future, and that's what he brought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's also why it's such a big deal. If you're wondering, if you're not super into politics, like, okay, who cares? A Muslim mm-hmm. woman, a Muslim, oops, almost called him a woman. A Muslim man mm-hmm. won the mayoral race in New York. It's pretty monumental, even from, like, just if you just stand mm-hmm. back and look at it objectively.
A Muslim immigrant.
Oh, sorry, immigrant, I should mm-hmm. yes, yeah, mm-hmm. okay. So
that's another big thing. The fact that he's also an immigrant to the country, to the city, which is the story for a lot of people in New York specifically, mm-hmm. right? A lot of them are immigrants, and I feel like who would you want to best represent you? Someone who's, you know, had almost a very similar experience to everyone else in that city, or someone who's a legacy politician like Cuomo,
right.
who was literally his dad and his brother were both politicians.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. sometimes those people are a little bit of, like, they're out of touch with reality. Mm-hmm. And so they may not actually be able to listen and execute mm-hmm. to what the people actually want.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So, yeah, big win for the city.
Yeah.
There's always a TikTok story that I like to bring up. And a lot of times it's within, like, the Muslim community on TikTok. Mm. And this is just a controversy that I recently saw. It happened a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get your take on it, because mm-hmm. I know we talk about the Dawah bros a lot, mm-hmm. but there's another side to the internet or to the Muslims on the internet that we don't talk about a lot. And this is what I'm going to be bringing up is a story about a TikTok creator called Earth to Khadija. I don't know if you saw this.
I did.
You did? Mm-hmm. So essentially, she's your typical Muslim TikTok creator. She's in hijabi, or at least we'll get to that next part. She's a hijabi, and the controversy that came up was that one of her friends, like, posted a video of her on TikTok without her hijab on, and she did not know that this was going to be posted. Like, I don't know, her friend is being weird for this, knowing that she's a hijabi and still posted it.
Yeah,
but then, you know, she came out and said, "Oh my God, like, I can't believe this happened," and she's already been, like, struggling with a hijab. So when this happened, like, she was going through a lot, essentially. But then, surprisingly enough, a lot of the women who usually are in support of other women on TikTok started coming out and saying, "This sounds fishy. Did you, like, purposely post this yourself?" So a lot of people were kind of accusing her of purposely posting this video of her without her hijab and making her feel worse, essentially. Because now she's being hit from, like, She's being hit from the side that her non-hijabi photos or video was exposed.
Yeah.
While on the other side, women are kind of, like, coming after her for that when it wasn't even her fault to begin with, saying that she did it on purpose. And I know we talk about Dawah bros all the time, but I feel like there's a large population, or there's a population of women on TikTok or the internet, Muslim women, who also are also, like, almost less empathetic towards other women, and Muslim women, and what they're going through. Especially when it comes to the hijab specifically.
Yeah. You know what? Mm-hmm. As someone who wears hijab myself, mm-hmm. I have always felt like hijabis online are harshly criticized way more than a Muslim woman who doesn't wear hijab, or even men in general, like Muslim men.
Yeah.
Because we are the group that's like visibly Muslim, unless you're a man who dresses in like Islamic attire. But majority of the time, if you live in the West, you don't.
Yeah.
And so my opinion, first and foremost, to the friend that exposed her, if that is the truth, that's a low blow. Like, that's something you don't do. And I feel like
that's not a friend for sure.
Yeah, it's not a real friend. What are your intentions behind exposing her? And at the end of the day, like, as a hijabi myself, I know that, for example, if I'm working from home and I have work meetings and it's simply just with another woman, sometimes if I don't know this colleague that well, or I don't have that much of a rapport, I don't trust to just go without my hijab. So I always have a hijab next to my desk just in case. But it's also, especially if your friend or your colleague is a non-Muslim, remember, their brains don't operate the same way that yours does. So for example, if I'm FaceTiming my hijabi friend without her hijab and Amir walks in the room, I'm going to protect her aura.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be like, oh, hold on a second, Amir, or like hide the screen.
Yeah.
I don't always get that same common courtesy. You know what I mean? I've been in those situations where I'm talking to a female colleague and then a man pops into the screen and I'm like, ooh, like, you just kind of like panic because you're like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
And she just sees you on the screen.
Yeah, like I've definitely done that, or like just shut my camera off or something, like if I can react quick enough. And I've had to explain to some people like, hey, so like, you know, I wear hijab, and they're like, oh my God. Like, and then when the realization hits them and they're just like, oh my God, like I didn't realize. And so
as long as they're like, once they realize.
Like, but not everyone has a pure heart in that sense. And so some people are conniving where they will intentionally, you know, like tell a guy to come on or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this case where her friend posted online, and mind you, Earth to Khadija, like, is a pretty popular TikToker. So to post her video, you knew it was going to go viral, first of all. And then the response that she was getting from the Muslim female audience that were not giving her the benefit of the doubt, and saying like, oh, this is suspicious. Maybe you really aren't a hijabi and this is your way to like soft launch that. Why would she go through these lengths? Like, sorry, I'm just thinking about all of the other hijabi creators that took their hijab off. Why would she? A lot of times, some of them will go as far as like releasing a statement and making a video addressing the elephant in the room and just being like, this is the new me or whatever. This is the real me.
Yeah.
There are some people who go ghost for months at a time and then reappear on social media without their hijab off and then just don't address it. And that's just them. You just accept them.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own way of doing things. But this, to go through some elaborate, weird plan like that, I don't think that makes any sense. And shame on the women in the online community, the Muslim women that decided to not give her the benefit of the doubt and not, you know, have a genuine like care and want to advise her. And even if you are advising her, you guys know how I feel about like trying to advise someone on a public, like,
exactly,
do it with some empathy, do it with some haya, like, I don't know, like if you genuinely cared about her as your Muslim sister, saying that she's sus or like, you know, doing this elaborate plan to soft launch her not wearing a hijab anymore just kind of doesn't sit right with me. I don't agree with it. It actually, I watched it and I remember feeling like, oh my God, I think I would like, I don't want to say the word online because I don't want to get flagged, but like I would seriously, my friend who did this would have serious consequences. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
No, like that's just a hard line that you just don't cross. And my heart goes out to her. I hope that she's doing okay, because when you're online, you're essentially on this like platform where it's free to criticize you. And as much as people will be like, oh, the comments don't get to us, even us on our little platform, ask Amir, and I've talked about this several times, any negative comment that we see, we 9 times out of 10, we will see them. Well, I will see them, and sometimes I'll show it to him, or, you know, when we first started out, like, it would really bother me where it would make me like self-conscious all the time. And then Amir was like, why are you wasting space in your brain reading that?
Yeah.
Just delete it, or like, don't look at it, whatever. And so as much as we want to say, oh, it doesn't bother us, it can get to you, especially mm-hmm. when it's like hundreds and thousands of comments and people are making like videos about her. Oh, yeah,
when people start piling and not even making videos, like speaking about it, people making jokes and like memes yeah. about how, like, basically reenacting how she's actually lying about all this whole situation.
So crazy. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing is I actually haven't seen the women making videos. I've seen mm-hmm. a lot of like the men making videos about it.
The funny thing is I haven't seen any men making videos. I really? Only saw women making videos of
it.
Oh, algorithms are completely, they know.
They flipped it. Yeah. So that I could criticize the men, you criticize mm-hmm. the women. Crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's why I thought that no men were talking about it.
No, they
women.
Were. Mm. They were. It's the usual ones that do. And I was just mm-hmm. like, why is this like 40-something-year-old man talking about a 20-something-year-old girl mm-hmm. taking her hijab off, even if she did or didn't?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just, but I feel like in that case, I did see kind of maybe one video like that, but it was after she had already like kind of made a video taking it off, or somewhat, not fully taking it off, but like at least speaking about taking it off or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. You know, like everyone has their test in this life. Mm-hmm. And for hijabis, like mm-hmm. you have to realize your test isn't always coming to you in a negative form. Someone could be filthy rich and that's their test. Mm-hmm. How do you use your money? How do you make your money? Is it in a halal way? Do you mm-hmm. spend it? Are you generous? Do you donate, etc.? Mm-hmm. For those of us that wear hijab, I know sometimes non-hijabis will look at us and look at me like, oh, like you make it look so easy, like may mm-hmm. Allah make it easy on me. And I look at them like, man, you don't know the struggles mm-hmm. that we face. Like you actually don't know the struggles that we face. So like, yeah, while it looks like wearing this is easy and you mm-hmm. try your best to do so and to wear it properly at mm-hmm. that, it's still difficult. We still have our challenges. Mm-hmm. There are still days where we're like, ugh, I don't feel my best wearing this. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So hijab is a big topic. And I know mm-hmm. we've always been asked to kind of talk about it, but there's so many different ways to talk about
it. Yeah, there are. Yeah, but it's unfortunate that, like, you know, you think that your own community, especially hijabi community, would back you up in a situation like this, because I'm sure that if it happened to any of them, they would want their community to back them up as well. But when they start turning on it, you could tell it's because it's a lot of times it's not even related to what exactly they did in that sense. It's just people who were like envious of someone's situation coming out of the woodwork and like being like, oh, this is my opportunity to actually like come
tear
out
them down.
And tear them down, right? Especially if it's someone who's very popular, has had a lot of success in the Muslim content creator world. So it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think it's unfortunate too when mm-hmm. your own Muslim community online ends up being like your biggest downfall or mm-hmm. your biggest hater.
Yeah.
But be kind. It's not expensive, or it's actually literally free. Just be mm-hmm. kind. If you have nothing positive to say,
yeah.
I hope so. But if you have nothing positive to say, then just don't comment. Mm-hmm. Scroll past the video. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Very a lot of mean girls online, that for sure. And mean boys.
Yeah, just mean people.
Yeah. Last thing that I wanted to talk about was kind of like a question that I wanted to ask you. Because like I have thought about this in the past. It's related to the afterlife. So, mm-hmm. okay. There's a movie coming out called Eternity, where essentially there's a woman and she has died mm-hmm. and in her real life, she was married at first and her husband died young, unexpectedly. And then later on in life, she actually got married again. Mm-hmm. And then she lived out the rest of her life with this man. Mm-hmm. And now that she's passed away there, she's finds herself in this like, kind of like middle ground in between. And she's given the option. She's like, okay, so you have eternity after this, right? So who are you going to spend eternity with? Are you going to spend it with your first husband or with your second husband? And this is a big question I've always had. So I want to ask you, if you got married to someone and then they and you were only married for a very short time, but they were the love of your life, they unexpectedly passed away. You got, you know, you went through the grieving process. Mm-hmm. You found another person. Mm-hmm. You got married to them. You're still young. So, you know, you got a long life to live with them. Who would you choose?
I feel like you should answer that first.
No. As a married man?
Why you dodged the question? Why you dodged it? Because you know you're gonna wait until I finish the next mission. Like, oh, we're out of time. No. Roji.
I brought the topic. Okay.
Fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you know what? Okay, mm-hmm. The first person that I married, mm-hmm. while, yes, they were the love of my life, the second person, did I settle just for the sake of not being alone? Mm-hmm. Or did I truly feel like, wow, I got the opportunity to fall in love with someone, like with a new person, fall in love twice in this life?
Mm-hmm. Let's say, just for like this sense, like the second person you married wasn't like the most ideal person, but they were still a great husband to you. They're still a great person. They weren't like abusive in any way. Mm-hmm. They were a good husband, like, but because of that short time you had with your first husband, like, just everything was like rose colored glasses, like amazing. But yeah. With the second husband, like, they supported you for your whole life, everything that you went through.
It's giving like red pill, blue pill, because mm-hmm. on one hand, you're right, when you have such a short time with someone. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, guys. When it comes to relationships, when they end, no matter how... Actually, let me not generalize. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, when relationships end and you look back on them years later, mm-hmm. a lot of times you actually only really remember the good memories. Mm-hmm. You kind of block out the bad memories.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, like, if I was to make the decision to spend eternity with the first husband... Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's going to be like. This one I know because I've lived a long life. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I know what to expect.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want to venture off and take a big risk and go for someone where I actually don't know what life is going to be mm-hmm. like? Or should I go with what I know best? And, you know, in this current season of my life, I am challenging myself to be more uncomfortable and take risks. Mm-hmm. So I think I already know what life is going to be like with that person, and I've experienced it. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Let me take a risk and go for the first one.
So you'd go with the first husband?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What would you do?
Okay, guys. So
no, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Okay.
You have to answer.
Let's see. Like, yeah, because that is a thing where, like, you know, because you only had such a short time with that first partner, like, maybe if with time you would more would be exposed, right? And you might actually, if you were to live a full life with them, you might not have even lasted your whole lifetime with them. Maybe something would have happened and you might have ended up separating, whatever, but you just don't know, because, like, a lot of times for the first couple years of marriage, like, at least for the first year of marriage, I don't know how for everybody's different, right? It could be your whole marriage. Like,
there's a lot of learning.
Yeah, there's a lot of learning. Mm. But I feel like there's also a lot of opportunities to, like, try new things together. And, you know, you're still kind of trying to do your best, right? Not only do your best, but, like, put up your... Yeah, do your best, essentially.
Like, put your best foot forward.
Yeah, put your best foot forward. Because with time, like anybody, like, people might get lazy, or not lazy, comfortable. But comfortable. Exactly.
I got you.
That's a better word. Exactly.
Don't say lazy.
Yeah, people might get comfortable, right? But with that second partner, you actually got to see all of that. And if I went my whole life and I actually ended up, like, never separating with that person, they were still good to me, they still supported me in everything I went through, I might go with the second person instead. Because I feel like, first off, you know, in Islam,
where are you going with
technically
this?
There is no sadness in
that's what life. I was okay. That's what I was no, hold on.
I'm not doing scapegoat. Okay. I'm not doing scapegoat. Okay. But like, you know, I feel like because I did stick it out with that second person, and, like, I am technically still married to them after I've, like, passed away or whatever, like, just out of honor and respect for that person for being there the whole time and supporting me, I would stay with them. But I would be enticed to figure out, yeah, like, just because I feel like a lot of the choices I make from a sense of honor, or, like, just, like, you know what, you know, I made this decision, like,
I'm gonna see it through.
I made a promise. I'm gonna see it through, no matter how hard it might seem, because of that first marriage and, like, what could have been.
But Amir,
I feel like I made a commitment, and I must stick it through.
Had the first wife not died, you wouldn't have remarried.
Yeah. But that's the scenario you're dealing with right now, right?
So you would go for the second one because it's kind of like a thank you for sticking by me, for watching me through my grieving process.
Exactly.
And loving me and all that.
Yeah, maybe if they weren't even there for the grieving process, but just like for anything else that might have happened in life. Because like with that person that you had a short life with, I'm assuming you probably didn't have any kids or whatever. Mm. But maybe with the second part, you had more of a family. So...
But you know what?
What?
Sometimes the length of time that you are with someone, it mm-hmm. doesn't negate the feelings. Like mm-hmm. you could still feel a deep connection and a deep love for someone, even if it was for mm-hmm. a short amount of time, compared to someone that you've known for 30, 40 years or that mm-hmm. you've been with. You know, the love could be different. Mm-hmm. However, I understand wanting to go for the second person just out of like, it's like a, you know what that is? Mm-hmm. Miss people pleasing.
Maybe it is. And maybe it is a people-pleasing thing. Like, I feel like I would sacrifice my own, like, desire.
Amir.
What?
That's, like, don't worry, I'm a people-pleaser, too. But, like, but that's, like, textbook people-pleasing. Yeah. Why would you sacrifice your own happiness?
Not my own happiness, because I feel like I would still be happy with that person.
Would you, though?
But, like, there's always that question in your mind of, like, oh, what would that life have been like, right?
But that's not fair to that partner then, because then as you're like, yeah, I'm so happy, I love you, you're mm-hmm. thinking about like, ah, maybe I should have picked the other one.
No. Because once I made that decision, I'll stick with it, you know?
And you're just going to block out the noise?
Like, of course, in the afterlife, at least from the Islamic perspective, like you won't have those kind of thoughts for the most part. But in this scenario, if you did just think like you think now... Like, of course, that would always be something in the back of your mind, but that was probably in the back of your mind for the whole time that you were living. It's like, what would life have been with my first partner, right? But even if I was given that choice to be like, okay, you can actually do it, just out of the fact that I made a commitment to another person, I feel like I'd have to stick with that.
And
I'm not saying I wouldn't be happy. I would still be happy, right? But
yeah, like, that's why I wanted to clarify, like, the second person, are mm-hmm. they, do you, like, is it someone that you settled for just for the sake of...
No, I didn't settle. Like, this is someone you still fell in love with and, like, you know.
Okay, because I'm thinking mm-hmm. about it from this perspective. I know I just said, like, length mm-hmm. of time doesn't negate the strength of the feelings. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes... And this is me saying it from an Islamic perspective. Sometimes, like, you think that you know yourself best and you what you want is mm-hmm. what's best for you. And when something abruptly ends or just gets drawn out, whatever, if it ends, mm-hmm. the best way to shift your perspective is to just think, like, okay, you know what? My khair, like, this just wasn't good for me. Mm-hmm. There was no goodness in this for me. And that's why it ended, because God is trying to show me that there's something better for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have that perspective,
yeah,
and the second person.
Well, yeah, in that case, like, if you knew that the reason that that person was taken out of your life is because, like, Allah or God himself was like, this is
trying
not
to protect you.
Yeah, trying to protect you. But you don't know.
That's the thing. A lot of times you don't know. So, mm-hmm. you know, when people talk about having tawakkul, having like ultimate trust and faith in God, it's kind of odd. I don't call it like blind faith, mm-hmm. but essentially, like, you may not know the reason why something doesn't work out for you
mm-hmm.
or why something does work out for you. You don't really know, but because you trust God so much, you're just like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to trust the plan and like let it play out how it's supposed to. And so when that partner passes away, you don't know why,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's a shock, and we're human beings and we're going to kind of question it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have the opportunity to fall in love with someone, with a different person,
mm-hmm.
again, despite that loss, and they treat you well, and it's a, like, enriched life with that person, mm-hmm. maybe I would go for the second one.
Have I convinced you?
I don't know. It really just depends. I feel like...
No backseas.
No.
No backseas.
I just feel like I would really have to, like, sit and think about it, because my initial response was like, mm-hmm. if I settled for the second person, yeah, I'm gonna go for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was like, no, I actually made a conscious decision based on
mm-hmm.
faith-based,
yeah.
you know, then I might actually, like, depending on what the type of life I lived with the second person,
mm-hmm.
maybe I might go for them. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess one thing I was gonna say is, like, it could be also, you're assuming that life would have been like amazing with that first partner, But if it was like young love, like let's say you were like 20 and you got
married. Oh, hell no. Goodbye. No.
See, that changes it. So there's so many ways you can like fix up this scenario to where yeah. you'd be like, you can push it towards either answer, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was an interesting scenario. I want to see what that movie.
When is it coming out?
I think soon. I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay. It's not an ad for the movie. I'm just saying. No, I just saw the ad for it or the commercial. I'm like, ooh, I haven't that's seen an interesting it. Concept.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. But yeah, so. I know, a very short episode, but before we end it, I definitely want to give a shout out to all the people who commented the hamburger on episode 185.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here. So I'm going to quickly go over those just to make sure y'all are acknowledged and that we appreciate y'all putting your comments down there. And it definitely helps with like the algorithm and the episode, and also just interesting seeing what you guys have to say as well, because some of you guys put some stuff in there.
Are we doing the winks too from last week or no?
Oh no, that one we'll move save to another it. time. Yeah, okay. So this is from episode 185. I'm gonna first shout out Shamsa Masaba, who also wrote down, awesome episode guys, always a highlight of my week.
Oh,
thank you again for watching. And also Alia 8528, who wrote, look forward to Thursdays. Always great takes on topics. Also, y'all need to do an event in Dallas, inshallah. Hey, that is technically, you know, I have family out there now. I'm moving away from, so you never know, man. And also, shout out to Jui Sheikh, who wrote down, inshallah, free Palestine. Also, AI things are crazy. Also, fall for the cat with baby ones. What?
Remember that cat AI video?
Oh. Also, fall for the cat with baby ones. Okay. And then also the other people who just commented burgers, like Sohna Rahma.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you say it. And Maria Malau, Maloa. Oh my God, I'm so bad at this. And also Sarah Hey.
It's Sarah E.
Oh, Sarah E.
Is it Sarah Hey?
and Nadine Australia or AW or AU. But yeah, shout out to you guys.
You forgot Malika.
Oh shoot, was there one?
Yeah.
Oh wait, did I write that down? 1 second. Oh my bad. I must have, for some reason, huh. Like I feel like you get some comments that I don't get. It's weird.
It's because I use Apple. He uses Android.
But who is that?
Malika 3668. She actually said, do you guys have any dream guests that you'd like to have on, either Canada based or globally? We'll answer that one next week.
Yeah, we'll answer that next week. But again, thank you guys for leaving those comments down there. We're not gonna put one in for this week because I feel like it's a short episode. We'll just reply back to the ones from last episode.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I know it's a short episode, but thank you for watching.
Thank you guys.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to follow us at Cousin Connection Pod on Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the channel for sure. And if you do have any reaction to any of the things we talked about today, you can also put that in the comments down there. We'll reply to it in a future episode.
Answer the eternity question.
Yes, answer the eternity question. Who would you go for, your first or second husband or wife? Okay. And outside of that, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.